I want to take time to share and to give everybody a clearer vision of what we're doing, where I believe that God is taking us, and to invite those that want to come along to come along. So the first thing that I'm going to talk about is the 318-member prayer army found in Genesis chapter 14. When Abraham's nephew Lot was taken captive and the enemy had ransacked everything, took all of his people, took all of his goods, took everything into captivity, Abraham took his 318 trained, and he went after them. He defeated the enemy, he got everything back, and took the rest of what the enemy had from other places and brought it back. And one of the things the Lord had shown me in that is that the body of Christ, and because he's assigned us to Southeast Pennsylvania, so our primary focus is on Southeast Pennsylvania, or we can say from Allentown to Philadelphia, from Reading to the Delaware River. And because of that, this becomes an area of responsibility. Because God will assign you not only according to the gifts that he has given you, he will assign you geographically. And he will give you and I, body of Christ, authority over that geographical area. For years, the Lord has given me what I call prayer assignments, where he says, go here, spend time in prayer, do this, do that. One example would be is he sent me to Richmond, Virginia to find a park. I had a vision of the park. I knew exactly what it looked like, but I also knew when I saw it, I knew that would be it. Priscilla and I went to Richmond, Virginia. We found the park, and we began to pray. And after an hour and a half or so, praying in the spirit, praying in tongues, because we don't know how to pray as we ought, ever. What does that mean? We don't know all the situation. We don't know anything about it. Unless God shows us, there's no way we know how to pray. We all need intercession. So with that, I just want to touch upon this. Go to Romans chapter 8. We know we go over these verses quite often, and we sometimes think that we know what it's saying. I looked at a verse the other day, and I think it was the 1,001st time that I looked at it. I saw something I never saw there before. The Word of God is great like that. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helps in our weakness. Now he says what the weakness is. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now some versions have "for us" in there. That's added. That was added to the original Greek. It's the Spirit himself makes intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts know what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession, look at this phrase, for the saint. For the saints, according to the will of God. Do you see that? Everybody see? For the saints. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called to his purpose. Now you take that verse 28, and has been so misrepresented in the centuries of the church, it's ridiculous. What in there says that that has to be a bad thing happening? But yet, it's taught that no matter what you're going through, and no matter what it is, and no matter the tribulation, and no matter if it's sickness and disease, it all works together for good. I've seen people die saying that. All work, then they look to try to find something good that came out of it in their whole human reasoning. That's not what this is talking about. The all things, to begin with, are all the things God has given us to turn those things around. The name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and most of all, the Holy Spirit taking hold with us to intercede for others. This is not about interceding for us, ourselves. Okay? The Holy Spirit's ministry is, if I'm praying for Pastor Barry, I don't know how I ought to pray for him. The Holy Spirit takes hold and I take hold with him and we begin to pray. I'm praying for him. I'm praying for Phil and Lindsay. I'm praying for Vinny and Vicky. Can you see that? But what about us? Jesus makes intercession for us. He ever liveth to make intercession. So why am I saying this? The 318 prayer army is primarily for the purpose of making intercession for the saints in a very effective, powerful way to get them back from being taken captive. And the Holy Spirit is ministry. A major part of his ministry is right here. Do you understand why the devil fights so hard against filled with the Spirit and tongues especially? Most of the body of Christ is backed off totally from tongues. Why? He can't understand it. You know, can you see the devil meeting now with his, like, lieutenants? We got to stop this tongue business. We can't understand what's going on. We got to get them to say something in an understandable language so we can bring that on them. I want 318 that'll stand up and pray in tongues all together at the top of their lungs and know that we're making intercession. You'll see some action then. Why? You got 318 people praying all the will of God to perfection. How powerful is that? Now, I got to tell you, God spoke to me to do this, and I can't tell you how. He just said, believe me. So if someone comes and says, how are you going to do this? I don't have a clue. But God does. And he shall get it done. Amen? Because he wants it. He wants it. And I had a little glimpse and I thought, Southeast Pennsylvania, 318. What would happen if this happened in every region in the country? Whoa. Now, you've heard me tell the story of George Mueller and how when he built the orphanage, how many know who George Mueller was? Lived in the 1800s, Bristol, England. This man, the Lord supplied $7.5 million in his ministry in 1840. You know what that is in money now? 70 million? And it was because he prayed. And he asked God to bring it in. But here's an interesting thing. three buildings, but God told him to do an orphanage. He had a church. He was pastoring. He did the orphanage, and he had three buildings built, totally furnished, had all of the food there and everything. Each building cost $600,000. So he was done. Everything was set. He's waiting. He put out some advertisements at the orphanage, waiting for applications to come in. First week, none. Second week, none. Third week, none. He goes to the Lord and says, "What's up?" He might have said something, "What is thou, whatever," okay? Because he talked half Elizabethan English. And so he goes to the Lord, and it's a "what's up." The Lord says, "You didn't pray for the orphans." Now, I got to tell you, when I first read that, and then the second time, and the third time, and the fourth time, and the fifth time, my mind said, why would I do that? The Lord told me to do the orphanage. He told me to do that. He supplied $1.5 million. He brought the people that knocked on his door, two couples, come said, "Lord told us to leave our jobs and to come over here. Work with you." Okay? Why would I have to pray for the orphans? After all, doesn't God want this? What would you think? Do you have enough evidence? Is there enough circumstantial evidence to show that God wanted him to do this orphanage to house 2,000 at a time? Over 15,000 children went through that orphanage at that time. And the Lord said to him, "You didn't pray to bring the orphans." Now, I had known all along from the Word of God, and I have said this repeatedly, there's not one single thing that is the will of God that happens in this earth without His body, us, participating. He can't even do it without us because that's what He's chosen. Amen? So every single thing that is going to happen in your life that's the will of God is going to happen in my life, it's going to happen in a church body's life, that's going to happen in a ministry's life, is going to happen because you prayed it. You prayed the will of God. You prayed. So he goes back. Okay, so you go back and say, "Lord, bring me the orphan." He doesn't do that. He goes back to the Lord, and he says, "I'm going back to square one just to be sure I got it right." Now, I got to tell you, I'm saying, what's the point of that? I got three buildings here. They're all furnished. Everything is here. He goes back and says, "Lord, check my heart to see that what I'm doing is to your glory. And there's nothing in this that I'm trying to take away from your glory." And then he prays from there. The Lord reaffirms it. He prays for the orphans. 3 months later, he's got 2,000 orphans there, and they're rolling. Can you imagine that? Now, I'm not comparing myself to, you know, Bible says don't compare. I'm not there saying, "Oh, I want to be like George Mueller," but I do want to learn from him. Now, I met him 30 years ago, and we've been friends for 30 years. I haven't seen him. He's in heaven, but I've read his stuff, and there's some good things in there. Now, imagine this, that we could actually see a vision of 318, and they're operating in Romans 8:26. And you're praying, and every captive saint of God that the enemy has taken captive, and he's stolen from the church. He's stolen the money. He has stolen our money. It's our money. Belongs to us, the body of Christ, all of us. And he lets it get hoarded up in the devil's crowd, over in them casinos and here and there and whatever. See? It's ours. Could you imagine 318 operating in that and praying for the saints to be released in Southeast Pennsylvania back into the body of Christ and breaking the enemy's hold and going in and raiding him? Not only for the ones he took captive. Oh, by the way, you're going to pony up 10 unsaved for every one you took captive. How about that? Now come mess with us some more. I would be excited. I'm already excited. Because by faith, I've received it. See? God said, this is what I'm doing. He's doing it. I go to him sometimes and say, Lord, how? Shh. Shh. Just believe. Shh. Amen. Now, each and every one of you have the Spirit within you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And each and every one of you can operate in this. And I'll tell you, the first place to operate in this, because it happens to me sometimes, I don't know what to pray for my wife. If you ask me, I would pray stuff that wouldn't even be close. Because here's what happens to us. We often get caught in this weakness that says, I got to pray for my wife so it'll be better for me. I got to pray for my pastor so it'll be better for me. Not better for him, better for me. See? But the Holy Spirit, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus. When he comes and takes hold and you're praying, there ain't none of you in it. Amen? There's none of you in it. Now, this is first thing. See, you cannot be in our prayer army unless you're endued with the power and you have the language. Because you're not equipped with all things that work together for good. So as I'm praying, as the 318 are praying, every captive saint out there, because of this intercession, and because of the perfectness of the prayer, and because of the total agreement, you understand? There is not one word out of place for 318 people, right? Not one. And then what happens? Whew. All that stuff the enemy was doing, taken captive and all that, we have used the thing that God gave us, and it all then turns to good. Because he's ponying up 10 unsaved for everyone he took captive, for starters. That's good. Amen? Can you see this? Is it possible? Not with man, but with God, all things are possible. Now, we were going over our list today. Okay. We have 14. So now we need 304. We're rolling. And you guys aren't on it yet. Are you on it now? Bond, 302. Amen? Now, here's a secret. The scripture says, if the trumpet does not blow a certain sound, or a distinct sound, who will know to rally for battle? Okay? Now I'm going to make a commitment to the 318. The sound you hear come from me is going to be like that trumpet that blows a distinct sound. When it's time to rally for battle, you're going to know exactly where, why, and what for when we come together. And as the Lord directs the army, He's going to direct the army to fight the battles He wants fought in a specific area. We're not going to shotgun this thing. Oh, Lord, bless the world. He already has. So that prayer is in unbelief. Say, no, the area that He has assigned us. And people say, you know, we're dealing with Quakertown and all the rest. I see something. I see that this 318, this is starting here. Quakertown. Now tell me, we gather 300 that enlist in the army. Now, how much? You just don't know how scared the devil is. He has unleashed in the last, since we've been up here, April. Some of it's ridiculous. I mean, you know, devil, you must be desperate against us. But I got news. He ain't even out of the dugout. Ain't gonna happen. No way, no shape, no form. This will happen. And along the way, in addition to getting those captives free, we're going to take on a few Goliaths. One of the Goliaths is in Philadelphia. And this prayer army of 318, when we turn the focus on that city, watch out. Because I will tell you this, just from me, that I believe that the Lord has impressed and affirmed to me that the move of God that happens in the city of Philadelphia is going to be, and you hear this in a lot of areas, I've been around, I hear it, and more power to them and whatever they say, but I'm telling you, what happens here is what's going to spread through the whole country. It's going to spread through the whole country, not like wildfire. Have you ever seen a blast furnace? That's what's going to happen. Because we're going to see a move of God, a move of the Spirit of God in the hearts of people that is going to be more than we can think or ask. It's off the charts. And one reason for that is people willing to come and say, enlist me in the army. Now, look over in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure. The word endure there is you must share the hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Number one, you are now saying, I'm a soldier and I'm enlisting in the army. Not everybody does it. There's multitudes. I saw the 70 that is Jesus sent out as soldiers. And they said, we'll fight the battle with you, Jesus. What is that? Destroy the works of the devil. Declare war on sickness and disease. Declare war on poverty. Declare war on everything that torments people in their mind, misery, darkness, the results of sin that destroys their lives, broken families, declare war. This is the works of the devil. This is not God's works. Amen? So you're saying, I'm coming, I'm upping. Well, the first thing a soldier does, they report for duty when they're called. So the first thing you must come to grips with, if I'm in the army, okay, and it comes time to gather a get together, because we got 318 that we want to have 2-3 hours, and we're going to beat the enemy. We're going to pray according to 8:26, 27, 28. How many of you know you have to show up for duty? And let me warn you, it requires faith for you to get there. All too often, this is what happens so often Sunday morning. People think that you can get to Sunday morning service as easily as they get to go to work and toil. The devil don't care. He wants them to toil. He cares whether you get to Sunday morning, because you might get a word from God that sets you free and put him in a headlock. And so people think, well, I can get there in my own strength. I can get there in my own effort. No. You get there by faith. This is a big problem in the body of Christ, because people walk in, they don't understand the dynamic of being there with the saints together, praising God, worshiping God, as opposed to anything else they'll do. He'll let you go to the grocery store and spend all your money and never wink. Right? Right? Sure. Especially if it's out of order. Amen. That's just a little thrown in for free to cause you to understand something. That the Word of God says that everything I do by faith. Everything I initiate in my life is by faith. There isn't anything that I don't do that is not by faith. I get in the car and I drive from 12th Street to here by faith. Well, how do you do that? Thank you, Lord, for your angels are around protecting in the name of Jesus. And if the Spirit of God speaks to you to put on your seatbelt, bless God, put it on. Amen. Because we're led by the Spirit. Why? Whatever is not of faith is sin. Romans. It is impossible to please God without faith. Amen? Well, let me let you in on a hint. No prayer, no faith. One time the Lord said to me, you can go on that trip by praying and by faith, or whatever you don't pray about is going to be hard for you. It's going to be difficult. You're all looking at me like, whoa. I don't want to walk across the street unless it's by faith. I don't know what those cars are going to do. Well, here's a verse for you. The righteous or the just shall live by faith. Live by. You get that? You will live by faith. Now, faith is always now. Everybody say that. Faith is always now. So if I say that God is going to do something, is that faith? God doesn't know any other language than past tense. He said to the nation of Israel, he said, go into the promised land after he took them out of Egypt. I have given you the land. As far as God's concerned, it's a done deal. Amen? So, is it God will heal me? No, it's God has healed me. I had two people last 15 years that came and said to me, I was in my room, I was praying, and Jesus showed up. And I saw him, and he told me. And I said, what did he tell you? He said he was going to heal me. I said, that wasn't Jesus. What? I said, that wasn't Jesus. He don't talk that way. Especially Jesus who went to cross. I said, did he have the nails? Did you see that? Well, no, I just kind of saw him. I said, wasn't Jesus. Why? Because if Jesus showed up, he would have said, you're healed already. Amen. So I've prayed. I said, Lord, 318 prayer army. Okay. How many of you agree with me right now that he has brought them? Anybody?
Yes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So nothing else do we say. Why would we? Because we believe what? He has put the army together. Now, just us staying in agreement, in faith, thanking God each day. Lord, thank you for the 318 prayer army. Thank you, Lord, for the 318 prayer army. Thank you, Lord, for the 318 prayer army. We will see a manifestation of this in a quarter of the time if it were just me and her. And how many of you want to see, I do, the 318 for an hour praying in tongues, not caring who hears it? Huh? I do, and I want it videoed. That one will be a hot ticket. The beauty of that is you show somebody, see? Thomas, see? Amen. Very doable. Now, in the interim, if each one of us spend 5 minutes praying with the Holy Spirit taking hold, and Lord, I'm praying for the 318, and you praying in the Spirit, in tongues, a language that devil can't understand, nor can we, unless we ask for interpretation, which is not a translation, and God will show you. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the tongues chapter, great one to study, where Paul talks about praying with the understanding, not praying with the, and having understanding and all that. You can pray in tongues in the Spirit, and you can ask the Lord, Lord, please give me an interpretation. By faith, I receive it. And he'll show you. Great. Great. It's the greatest way there is to hear and discern the will of God. Let me put it to you this way. What you hear, You immediately check it here. Holy Spirit never gets outside the Word. And then you have a secondary check. You go to the pastor. Hey, I got this. Okay? And you run it by him. Now, if it passes this test, because you don't have to use up all the pastor's time if you already know, okay? If it passes that test, then if you need more, you go and ask. You get help. And the pastor's there to protect you. Amen? So, if you will pray 5 minutes a day, the 318, don't need an interpretation, you know what you're praying for. It will cut that a quarter of a time to even less. Because as you're interceding for saints out there that God has spoken to, is called, and some of them don't even know what they're looking for, but they're looking for the prayer army. Okay? And the second thing is ministering spirits, angels, go out and get them. Bring them in. Hebrews chapter 1, 14th verse. Third thing, devil, take your hands off them. In the name of Jesus. It's done. Don't ever let the devil make you hoarse. Scripture says that Jesus cast the devil out with a word. A word, okay? That's how much he deserved. That's how much attention that Jesus actually knew that he deserved. Amen? How many are up for this? Three things. Now, I'm not one to check up, run around behind somebody. I don't do that. We used to call it fast and whatever. I run around and say, are you fasting? Not between you and God. This is between you and God. Okay? Lord told me a long time ago, pastors make bad saviors. You know? It's not because I was all that wise. It was one day when the Lord spoke to me and said, will you let me be the Savior, please? Yes, sir. Our job is not to get the sin out of people's lives. It's Jesus' job. And besides, I don't like that anyway. I'd rather we have fun. And I also found out when you let Jesus have the job, it gets done. Amen? Now, when it comes to the prayer army, the 318, I have to say it's not for everybody. It just isn't. There's multitudes, there's disciples, there's the army. Okay? Just like the army's not for everybody, like in the U.S. Army, the whole country. All right? But let me emphasize this. Why is the U.S. military, why does it exist? To fight for their country. Why does the 318 Jesus' prayer army exist? To fight for the body of Christ. You will notice all 95% that has to do with prayer and exhortation to prayer, okay, for the saints, for the saints, for the saints. For the saints. Why? Because the attack of the enemy is not on the world. It's on the saints. See, when you were in the world, the devil had you. And he don't have time to mess around with someone who's not a threat to him. So you're caught up in the system that he has set up. Right? Ephesians chapter 2, it's all there. Walking according to the spirit of disobedience. See, people in the world think they make their own decisions. They don't. They are led by the devil. What he wants them to do. So if somebody's going to go out and party and get drunk and everything and then get in the car and drive drunk, that's the enemy. He orchestrates that. Right? That's the reason why Ephesians chapter 6, turn there. Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles of the devil are his schemes, his plan, a road he's trying to build into a life. Now, he's not trying to build this road and schemes into the life of an unbeliever, an unsaved person. He already has them. He's trying to build this into a saint, a member of the body of Christ, a brother and sister in the Lord. See? Doesn't have to do with the world. It has to do with the body of Christ, who is the real threat to him. We're his worst nightmare. Everybody say, devil. I'm your worst nightmare. In the name of Jesus. Now, going through the armor of God, putting it on, okay? Why? Verse 18, praying always, which means always there is at every occasion, every opportunity, praying at every opportunity with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance, for who? For all the saints. This is not happening in the body of Christ. I don't want to go to a church down in Philly and stand up and say, I'm going to pass a sheet of paper around right now, and I want you to put down the amount of time you spend in a week interceding or praying for any saint. I'm not even going to ask about the pastor. I don't want to do it because I don't want to look at all the blank sheets. That's why I believe God's saying you need to be a soldier. You come into this army, you need to be a soldier and have a soldier mentality that you are fighting for the saints. Just like the U.S. military is fighting for our country. So when they thank them for their service, what? Fighting for a country that we can have freedom. We're fighting for the body of Christ so they can be free. Turn back over to Timothy. To Timmy. Verse 4, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Now, what's God saying? What's the Word of God saying? The Word of God is saying, I want to bring you in, and I want you to fight, and I want you to be a part of the army, and I don't want you to be weighed down by what are we going to eat, what are we going to wear, how are we going to feed the family, how are we going to do this, I've got to go do this to get this, blah, 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 blah. Doesn't want us weighed down in our mind. I'm not saying don't work. I'm saying that where the real torment begins is it's on our mind. It occupies our mind. What are we going to do about this? How are we going to pay this bill? How are we going to do this? We got the mortgage to do. We got this to do. We got a car payment to make. And God knows that's tough to rally up for the battle if you spent the whole day worrying about that. So God says what in Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first the kingdom, and all these will be added unto you. Every soldier that ups in the army of 318 is going to learn this, and they're going to walk in this, and they're going to live this. Because God is the God of His Word. You enlist, and you come in, and you begin to do and be a part of that army. God is not going to send you to war at your own expense. The Word says, who sends a soldier to war at their expense? My son went to Afghanistan. Trust me, he didn't pay his own way. They're sending him, he's back, and they're sending him to Arizona for intelligence training. I said, but you're already intelligent. So, you know what? He's got to be there by October 3rd, but they're paying all the expense. Paying for the furniture to be moved, paying for his housing, paying for all of that. Why? Because no one sends a soldier to war at their own expense. However, as he says here, don't be entangled. So that means each and every time you say, Lord, I'm in the army, the 318. Each and every time something comes up that you're making a commitment to, you need to weigh it. Vinny said to me when he got out of the car, I don't care if it wasn't true. I believe you. We postponed our vacation a week so they could be here tonight. See? And love believes all things, so I believe you. I don't care if he exaggerated or not. It's still a blessing that he would even think to say it. But you understand, that will come up for real. You say, well, what is the cost? Every time God asks us, like Priscilla and I, will you go back to Pennsylvania? Oops. And your mind gets flooded. The children are there. The grandchildren are there. See, Jesus wasn't fooling when he talked about him versus the family. Now, let me give you fair warning. Please, listen to me. Well, before I say that, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Verse 2. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart utter anything hastily before God. How many of you know God's here? He's not only here, but he's here. And how many of you know God does not miss anything? Okay? Now, before I go on, understand this. God will always deal with you according to your word. Think about it a minute. He will always, what does love do? It believes all things. It believes the best of everyone. And so you make a commitment to God, and it comes out of your mouth. How many of you know how the story of that? It's so common about how the soldier met God in the foxhole. Lord, you get me out of this and I'll whatever. And they make a vow. They get out of it and they forget all about it. Say, there was a little book printed. I met God in a foxhole. See? He will deal with you according to your word. If you say to God, I'm up and for the prayer army, whatever, he will deal with you based on your words right now. Even though he knows what you're going to do, he will treat you in the now based on the words that you tell him now. He will accept it and deal with you accordingly, even though he knows you may not fulfill it. Do you understand that? This is crucial to understand. This is why the Word of God says, don't be just blabbing stuff off to God. See? Now, look at Ecclesiastes. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes through much activity, and a fool's voice is known by many words. When you make a vow to God, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you have vowed. Better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Verse 6, do not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin. Nor say before the messenger of God that it was an error. Why should God be angry at the voice and destroy the work of your hands? Many of the Christians, and these are some we want to get free, that are taken captive, that are taken away from the body of Christ. Let me tell you what they did. They made a vow and didn't keep it. It's serious business. You say, well, you know, I'm the righteousness of God. Yes, you are. God's your father. You're in the family. Has your child ever told you something they didn't do? You didn't kick them out. You didn't beat them. You didn't break their legs. You didn't put them in the hospital. However, you weren't pleased. You got to understand something. The only reason our children don't obey when we tell them is they don't believe what we said. Because if they believed it, they would do it. I used to tell my children, do you want to succeed in everything you do? Yeah, Dad. Keep your room clean every day. Well, how's that work? Works this way. If you're faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in big. And we had 6 children. Some of them believed us, some of us didn't. And I've had the ones who didn't come back to me and say, Dad, I know now why you were telling me about keeping my room clean. It is so hard to take care of this house I now own. The others who did it, snap, they know just what to do. That's just one aspect of it. Now, when I tell you then, okay, you go over it. Now, some of you have been here long enough, and I've talked about it and so forth, but understand what you're doing is saying, yes, Lord, I'll be there when you call, whatever it takes. Yeah, but you don't understand. I've got, hey, you're scheduling well in advance. You keep track of that. Don't schedule something over top of it. Now, secondly, just in the area of scheduling, God will change the schedule. But you know what? They really want to go, so they don't pray. Lord, change the schedule. You know I'm going to have to be there to fight the battle. Amen? They don't bother. They just accept it. Now, over the years, hey, working on Sunday? That's a piece of cake if they really want to. Lord, you know I want to be in church Sunday morning. I want to be with the saints. I want to be with the brothers on Sunday morning. Change my schedule. God will change your job if he has to. Amen? Now, why am I mentioning these things? Because you're in the prayer army, and now you're a soldier in the prayer army, and the soldier thinks all the time about his weapons. And what is one of our main weapons? Prayer. The Word of God. So we're constantly, every day, tending to sharpening our weapons. So we're ready. That's what my son tells me they do. They had to take his whole platoon down to Louisiana before they went to Afghanistan and train with the special forces guys for a month. And they would walk 16 miles. And after they got there, they'd give them a 70-pound pack, put it on their back, and say, now run five. What am I saying to you? In the spiritual, please, please, please understand, you have to keep yourself fit. You have to keep yourself charged up. You have to keep yourself well nourished in the Word of God. You have to be disciplined in it. Am I earning something from God for doing this? No. He loves you. He loves the saints. He loves the multitude. He loves the unsaved. Amen? But this is God and sons. This is the army of God, and there are certain things in the army of God that God says, this is what you need to do. And number one is, tend to your heart. Be aware of what's in there. Be aware of what you're having seated in there. Be aware of doubt and unbelief when it's coming your way. Be aware of what you're listening to. And don't think so highly of yourself that these words can't worm their way in. Listen to me. Words are spirit. They're alive. And they're active. Remember I said to the Lord one time, it's not fair. He goes, what's not fair? I said, the devil don't have to go to sleep. I have to go to sleep. When I go to sleep, what's going on? I mean, gee whiz, I got to be up 24. He said, not the case. The words that you have released in faith, they're working alive, active, and you get to rest. I said, glory to God. That's a better deal. Not to wear myself out. Amen? But they're alive. And so are the words of doubt, unbelief, and hatred, and the rest of it. They're alive, and they get in, and they attach themselves to you. Hello? I'm a soldier. I'm in the 318. I keep myself fit. Only things that go in. Word of God. Now, I'm not telling you, Don't watch TV. I'm not telling you don't do this. Do whatever you want to do. But be aware and sensitive to the Spirit. I sit down and watch TV. When the Lord says to me, don't watch this, I don't go, why? I don't watch it. There was a program about Jesus on one of those stations, Discovery or whatever it was. And I said, oh, yeah, pretty neat about Jesus. The first minute the Lord spoke to me, the Spirit spoke to me, said, do not watch this program. It will hurt your faith. So I turned it over to basketball. And I come to find out, somebody's telling me, oh, what a neat story, talking about Jesus being poor and how he got this movement start, all from the natural. No recognition that Jesus was the Son of God. They just had him painted as another guy that showed up like Muhammad and this and that. And the people who did it have no clue that Jesus is alive today and he's hearing what you're doing. Amen. Have you got it? Now, the army also recruits. So you know people that are likely candidates. So I don't really know anybody like that. Okay. Pray this after me. Father, in the name of Jesus, you know those you want in the 318. And you know the ones I know that are in my life that you want in the 318. Bring them to my attention. Show me who they are. And thank you for the grace that you've given me to invite such a one to the next meeting. Amen. How many of you know God heard that? Okay. Now, I know God heard that. And I want to invite somebody. You know what I'm going to be doing? Looking. Why? Because he's going to bring somebody my way. Huh? How many want to witness to somebody this week? Okay? Now, we're going to pray. Want to ask God to bring somebody your way for you to witness to. You up for that? I guarantee you it will come up if you look for it. Where is he, Lord? Where is she, Lord? Where are they, Lord? Now, I'm over-exaggerating. Okay? You can go about, in other words, be aware that it could come up so you don't miss it. I've done that. I prayed, there it is, I missed it. I'm like, come on. And the Holy Spirit tells me the same thing every time. I didn't want to admit to multiple times, but hey, he goes, we'll get the next one. But you don't understand, I want to beat myself up for a while. Don't do that. That's the part I'm talking about. You get into this and you think you're earning it or you're doing this because it makes you more righteous or whatever it is. The guilt and condemnation will come on you and you'll start, quote unquote, feeling bad. I have nothing against feelings as long as they're good. Hate them bad feelings. Especially don't listen to them. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for each one here right now. Lord, this week, bring one or more into the path of each one here that they can share Jesus. They can share the Word of God. They can sow the Word of God. In the name of Jesus, all those who agree, say amen. Next time, a few testimonies. Now, have we got it? Do we see that? This is what we're working toward. And we'll begin to promote this on the TV program. And have a segment about it and so forth to begin to promote that and so forth. And how many of you know that God has given us the 318? Amen? Amen? Now, in addition to that, that you're in the prayer army, okay, we count you as partners with us. We're in partners with this. And you're in partners with each other. My son's closest relationships right now in the army especially, and he'll go on after that, are the ones he went to Afghanistan with. It's just a normal process. You're faithful and you fight the battle together, it draws you together. They appreciate that they have each other's back, so to speak. Amen? And again, I say this over and over, I'll say it again, words are spirit. And the success of the 318, a major portion of that is what comes out of our mouths. Amen. See? And as there are more and more, it becomes more precarious. But let me suggest this. Not a good thing to go out and say, that John, he must be crazy. If I am, it's crazy for Jesus, okay? The world will tell you that, but who cares? They don't understand anyway. Not yet. But you see, we get 10 unsaved for each one that's captive that we bring back. See? So if 10 that are captive comes back here to this particular fellowship, then this room is full because there's another 100 that has to come. And Satan has to deliver them to the door. He gets to stay out in the parking lot. Doesn't the scripture say that? I went for the tenfold. Scripture says, you catch the thief, he must return to you sevenfold. Which brings me to the last thing as far as what I'm sharing. And that has to do with each one of you in your finances. Okay? I'm going to pray and ask the Spirit of God to show you. And if he shows you that you were robbed by the enemy, we're going to command a sevenfold return. Can we do that? Can we do that?
Yes.
I'd be happy. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your Spirit. Right now, reveal to each one if there had been any place where the enemy has robbed, stolen finances in any way in the life of each person. In Jesus' name, reveal that. Now, I want you to keep your eyes closed, and if you say, I know there's an area he has shown me, just wave your right hand, take it down. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let me say this. It was mostly everybody. Okay? So, some of you have some big bucks coming. All right? So we're going to pray, and we're going to command it. Sevenfold return. You know the amount. You know what it is, so you keep track of that. Okay? And you know how Jesus said, I don't say anything I don't hear. I don't do anything I haven't seen the Father do. Anybody know aware of that? Okay. So a lot of the times the Spirit of God will speak to me and he'll just say this. Just say this. Okay? Now, after we pray and you leave here or tomorrow morning and the enemy attempts to attack you, I don't have to bring that. That wasn't right. Here's what you say. Just say this. Thank you, Father, it's working. Everybody, one, two, three. Thank you, Father, it's working. Okay? And you keep saying that any time that you're tempted to doubt or whatever. And you shall surely see the return. Like in real money dollars that you can spend. Better yet, give. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the army. And most of all, Lord, I thank you, you do not send an army to war at their own expense. But you provide every need. You provide every want. You provide the best. And I thank you, Lord, for that. And I thank you, Lord, that by your revelation, the revelation of your Spirit, we see where the enemy has gotten away, has come like a thief, and stole. And right now we declare, enemy, Satan, you're caught. We catch you now in the name of Jesus. We see you. And in the name of Jesus, I declare, I claim, I demand a sevenfold return. In the name of Jesus. I believe it. I receive it. I have it. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, it's working. Thank you, Father, it's working. Thank you, Father, it's working. Amen. Please feel free to share with us in a testimony whenever you get a chance. It's always very powerful to share with people the wonderful thing the Lord has done for you. Amen. Now, I also want to say one last thing in regards to the 318. We pray, and we may end up doing some work. Can you imagine having 318 and saying, let's all meet in the center of Quakertown on Saturday morning, and let's just hit every door in town today. Track. We'll pray for you. Here's something that really blows the mind of the religious people. Okay? And I've seen it work over and over and over and over. Some of you are aware of the Starbucks ministry. And my go-ahead guy, Joe, who stirs everybody up in there, see, he flagged me down about 4 or 5 days ago, and we talked a little bit, and I had an impression of the Lord to say to him, do you need something to pray? Do you need to pray about something? And he said, yes. He said, but he said, God won't do it. I sin. I said, you're forgiven. He said, but I do. I said, you're forgiven. I said, now what is it you want the Lord to do? Well, I have this business and I need more business and so forth. I said, okay, I'm going to pray right now. More business. Then he says, you know, it's a seasonal business. I close it down in October, November, and I have to work for the winter. So I want a job at a certain amount of wages per hour. I said, no problem. We'll pray. So we prayed, and I said, Lord, bring him business, more business than he's ever had before in a week. And then I prayed, Lord, show him the job, bring him the job. In the name of Jesus, he agreed, amen. That was like 5, 6 days ago. I go in this morning, he walks up to me, and he says, I need to talk to you. And I'm sitting at the table. And he goes, you know, I've had the best week I've ever had. And then he said something that took me back. You're the first one that's never let me down. I said, whoa, wait a minute. I said, Jesus didn't let you down. But what do you mean by that? I said, sit down. So I had 5 minutes with him, and I said, what do you believe? I believe. And I was telling him the grace of God. I said, Jesus is the one that got this for you. You just told me you sin. What happened? Well, he did it. I said, but that's why I came and asked you. I want to know why. I'm telling you, listen to me. I've had this happen over and over. It's the goodness of God that brings people to repentance. It used to be funny when we would do the street meetings. Friends, they go, you know, everybody that got healed was unsaved. Duh. Amen. Jesus went to the cross. Everybody was unsaved. Right? God is more than eager. It doesn't matter what they're doing. It doesn't. Because God, his grace abounds where sin abounds. And don't you know he knows in his heart, I didn't deserve this. Then he comes back to me a little while later and he goes, I have to take you and your wife to dinner. I said, really? Yes. And I said, I'll let you know. And so I went a little while, and the Lord spoke to me and said, you go with him because we're going to lock it down once and for all. Now, I want to tell you something. I didn't arrange any of this. Not one thing. I didn't go, I'm going to go over to Starbucks and start this ministry. I don't know. I've just had a Starbucks ministry. It was the same way in Lake Mary, Florida. I'd be sitting at the table and somebody would say, do you believe in heaven? And somebody stopped at the table and I said, you know if you're going to heaven or hell? And a kid says to me, I'm going to hell. You don't expect that answer sometimes. I said, really? He goes, I like to party. I said, what makes you think partying sends you to hell? And there's the door open. Do you think you could do that? Absolutely. Well, how does that work, Lord? Bring people. If he knows you're going to do it, he'll bring you all you can handle. But if he knows you're not, why would he? Huh? Amen? Yeah, I've been doing this a long time. And you have your moments where you chicken out because it's not right situation. You know, there are too many people around here, God. You know? But you dust yourself off and you go at it again and God loves you and you're righteous and it's fun. And plus, and most importantly, it is one of the ways where you become very strong spiritually. Because you're testifying to Jesus in front of people who might not like it. That's very big. Jesus said, if you confess me before man, you confess the word of God before man, I'll confess you before my Father. If you deny me before man, I'll deny you. What's he denying? What you're unwilling to confess to. Oh, Vinny, you're sick. How are you doing? How are you, Vinny? And they all think they're doing well for you because I feel so bad for you. The next words that come out of your mouth makes all the difference. What would you say? You could say, Satan, get behind me, but that wouldn't work. See, whatever comes out of your mouth, it needs to be faith. It needs to be your best faith statement. Yes, I may be now, but by Jesus' stripes I was healed. Faith doesn't deny the sickness. Faith takes it away. Right? It is what it is. It has no right to exist in your body. It has no right to attack you. But it's out there. The curse is still out there. But it has no right to be on you. Priscilla was attacked, flu symptoms and all that. She ran into a group of ladies, and she was talking about healing, and someone said to her, you don't believe that? And she said, you bet I do, and manifested the healing right then. Gone. Amen? Same for your finances. Same for all of it. Amen? What's happening? Last thing. Devil's coming trying to steal. He just happens to be using somebody you know well. That's why, you know, devil get behind me is a little tough if they don't know. You call me the devil? Okay. If it fits. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you, Lord, that you are strengthening us. You are equipping us. You are bringing everything necessary to cause us to be unentangled with the world. And we thank you, Lord, for that right now. And Lord, I thank you have put together 318 prayer warriors, and we see them, Lord, all there, and the Holy Spirit taking hold with us in the name of Jesus and praying the perfect will of God, your perfect will, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, George, you got anything?